The long-awaited decision about Waukesha water wasn't the only environmental story making news here in June. In Washington, President Obama signed into law a measure creating stricter pipeline standards. That move impacts energy infrastructure here in the Great Lakes. For this month's Great Lakes Month in Review, we welcome environmental journalist and commentator back, Gary Wilson. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Mark. Good to be back with you. And before we get into these matters, a cannabis church, did I hear that right?
We did. We had a cannabis church service, Lansing's first that we're aware of here just over the weekend, and Kevin Lavery attended and kind of took everybody there to what happened. So
okay, I'll have to check into that.
Well, environmental news this month was mainly dominated by the Waukesha decision. We will revisit and update that here in a minute with you. But first, I'd like to talk about another story that got less attention, at least on our program. Just last week, President Obama signed into law a pipeline safety reauthorization bill that reportedly contains higher safety standards that will impact Enbridge's Line 5 running through the Mackinac Straits. What can you tell us about these higher standards?
Sure, Mark. This is an important piece of legislation, primarily spearheaded by the two Michigan senators, Senator Debbie Stabenow and especially Senator Gary Peters. So props to them. There are basically three improved standards for the Great Lakes. The first one designates the lakes as what is called a high consequence area, which holds the operators of these pipelines, in this case primarily Enbridge, to a higher operating standard. The second one requires a response, cleanup plans, I should say, in the event of a spill under ice, which is obvious for the Straits of Mackinac. You know, it's kind of like, hello, the Straits of Mackinac freeze over, and, you know, nobody had a plan for what to do when they're covered by a foot of ice. So that's in the legislation. And then lastly, it requires more attention to be paid to old pipelines, aged pipelines, which is clearly applicable to the Straits pipeline, which is 60 years old. So these are improvements to the status quo, but it's also important to note that they're sort of reactive, you know, kind of focusing a bit on what happens after a spill versus the bigger issue of do we keep this pipeline in place or not.
Was there any response from Enbridge to this?
Well, sure. Enbridge released what I would call its standard statement regarding the Straits of Mackinac pipeline, which is to say that it has run safely for over 60 years. And, of course, they will comply with the law, which is what you would expect.
Any response from now? Was the Snyder administration supportive of the pipeline safety reauthorization bill and these reforms that you just referred to?
In general, yes. I didn't see anything specific from the Snyder administration or from the Department of Environmental Quality. But over the last few years, when this has been an issue, Governor Snyder has long held that pipeline safety is primarily a federal responsibility, so I'm sure that he welcomes these improvements. And I'd also say that the governor's response to the whole pipeline issue with the Straits of Mackinac, was featured in a study released by Attorney General Bill Schuette and former Department of Environmental Quality Director Dan Wyatt last year. And that was the primary finding there, was that no tar sand crude oil should flow through that pipeline. It does it now, and Enbridge has said it won't. So to date, the governor has still been loath to use the gravitas of his office to try to effect change, which would be either a shutdown or a replacement of that pipeline. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how he kind of stands on the sidelines.
We're talking with Great Lakes journalist and commentator Gary Wilson. This is the Great Lakes Month in Review here on WKAR's Current State. Last week, we discussed civil charges brought by Attorney General Bill Schuette against a couple of corporations involved in the Flint water crisis, related to the water crisis. And this follows criminal charges previously announced against state and Flint employees. But you've been tracking investigations into the Flint crisis at the federal level, which we have talked about less. Remind us what's going on in those federal investigations.
Sure, Mark. At the same time last January that Attorney General Schuette launched his investigation, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Office of the Inspector General, launched an investigation into the EPA's role in Flint, what I'll call the Flint water debacle, sort of writ large. And it's important to remember that the EPA has and had direct oversight responsibility under the Safe Drinking Water for what happened in Flint. And it's also important for everybody to remember that in October of 2015, when the lead problem was publicly known and the issue was getting a lot of scrutiny, Flint citizens formally petitioned the EPA to use its emergency authority to intervene in Flint. EPA kind of slow-walked its response, not getting back to Flint citizens until December. And then they declined to intervene, saying essentially that the MDEQ was on the problem. And then when the whole issue blew up in January, the regional administrator, Susan Hedman, resigned. That's when the EPA Inspector General sent a team to Flint. But we've heard nothing since. And I contacted the EPA IG's office for a status report, and they got a "we don't comment on investigations" response. I followed up, and they've now sent me to the Justice Department office in Detroit. So that'll be my next stop.
Hmm. EPA IG, that's Inspector General?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Now, here's the thing. With most of the blame falling on and accepted by the Snyder administration over Flint, why is it important to have an investigation by the EPA?
Well, the EPA is still very highly involved in Flint today. So if there were systemic failures, they should be known. And the people there should be held accountable, just as people in Michigan were. And EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy now has, since January, and as recently as the past couple of weeks, fired off, you know, very direct letters to Governor Snyder and Flint Mayor Karen Weaver, telling them what she thinks they should be doing related to the operation of Flint's water system right now. So this is the same Administrator McCarthy that was there when this whole system broke down. So I think there needs to be equal accountability between the EPA and the state of Michigan.
Mm. Finally, let's briefly revisit the Waukesha decision, again, in favor of drawing water from Lake Michigan for this community on the edge of the Great Lakes Basin. When you add up, here you've had a week to think about this and process all of these various responses, Gary, positive and negative. What do you take away from this whole process and the decision?
Well, I think, you know, people were post-decision. The responses were along predictable lines. If you were for the diversion before, you were happy with the decision. If you were against it, you were unhappy. I would just add that environmental groups, especially the ones in Michigan, are a little bit more circumspect. Prior to the decision, they were steadfastly against the diversion, but on reflection, they've come around and have been what I would call softly supportive of it, with the caveat that they'll be monitoring for enforcement.
There have been some complaints from those environmental groups, though, a mayor's organization and others, about a lack of inclusion and transparency in the process. Are those claims warranted?
I don't believe they are, Mark. I've been tracking this thing closely for a number of years. There have been public comment sessions. People have been able to comment over the internet, via email. All of the meetings that led to the decision over the past couple of months that supported the decision were open to the public. You could attend and actually watch changes being made. So I just think those lack of transparency allegations ring hollow. I don't believe they're warranted.
We want to thank Gary Wilson, Great Lakes journalist and commentator here. Our Great Lakes Month in Review is a monthly feature here on WKAR's Current State. Gary, we'll check back in the end of July, if not sooner. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.